The Holy Scriptures that we read tonight are Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We read God's word that far. The text we consider tonight as the theme for our season of family visitation is verses 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This year for family visitation, our elders chose as the theme, redeeming the time. That theme is based on two different passages of Scripture. The one clearly is the text that we are considering tonight, Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But the apostle uses that expression in another place, in Colossians 4, verse 5, as well. where we read, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." And there the apostle places more emphasis on redeeming the time in regard to those who are outside of the church, redeeming the time in respect to witnessing to those who are not Christians. In both of these texts, we consider that theme of redeeming the time. Time is a precious gift from God, precious, and yet one that we all possess, whether we are old or young, male or female, single or married, whether we have children or do not have children, whether we are currently going to school or currently going to work, all of us have time. Sometimes we hear aged saints tell us that they feel that they have too much time, or that they wish they had less time on their hands, because sometimes a saint gets to that point where he feels that he no longer has any purpose in this life. He wonders why the Lord doesn't take him to glory, and he feels that he just has too much time on his hands. We do hear that from time to time. But most of us, I think, here tonight would say that we feel rather the opposite, that we don't have enough time. That we have so much that we have to do at work and school and home and in the church, and that often we feel there just isn't enough time to do it. Well, the calling that comes to us tonight and in this text and in this season of family visitation has to do with our time. That gift that God has given us of our time. And the calling is that we are to redeem that time. Redeeming the time is our Christian calling. Redeeming the time really isn't a new or different calling from all of the callings that we have. But redeeming the time is a calling that adds a dimension to all of those callings, that has something to say about all of those callings, that applies to all of those callings. In essence, the apostle is saying to us in this text, don't procrastinate the Christian life. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today in the Christian life. Redeem the time in regard to all of the callings that you have now, at this moment in your life. We do well, beloved, periodically to examine the way we are using our God-given time and to ask ourselves, am I using it wisely or foolishly? Am I wasting this precious gift of time, or am I using it well? Am I using this gift of time only to please myself, only to serve myself and to seek my own pleasures? Or am I using it and pressing it into the service of God? Am I using it in thankfulness to God, striving to fulfill the callings God gives to me, to love Him and to love my neighbor? Am I redeeming the time? What does that even mean, to redeem the time? Redeeming the time is a very fitting and practical subject, and very good for a season of family visitation. Let's consider it together under that theme, redeeming the time. Let's notice first the calling, or what is the meaning of this calling. Secondly, the requirement, a necessary requirement of fulfilling this calling. And thirdly, the urgency of this calling. As we have said, time is a gift of God. Really, we can say that every single moment of time is a precious gift of God, and the apostle calls us to redeem the time. In the Greek language, there are two words for time, kairos and chronos. Chronos is not the word that appears in our text. It's the word that appears in our English word chronology. And chronos refers to time itself, time in its essence, time as the sum of all of its parts, time as fundamentally and first of all a creature of God. Whatever time is in its essence, time is first of all a creature of God. God created time in the beginning. Before the beginning, there was no time. God is one who exists outside of time. God transcends time with the whole of His divine being. God is above and outside of time, infinitely exalted as the eternal I am that I am. God created time. Time is a creature that God made. And every other creature exists within time. Every other creature is limited and bound by time, this creature that God made. God determined from all eternity in his counsel that he would create a limited amount of time. A limited amount. He began this creature called time, as far as we can tell, about 6,000 years ago or so. And he's going to bring it to an end at some future date when Christ returns on the clouds of glory. And that is all the time that there will be, at least time in its present form. There will be some kind of time in the new creation, in the new heavens and earth, because as we just said, every creature is bound by time. Only God is outside of time. There will be some kind of time in the new heavens and the new earth. But time will be changed. The form of it, the substance of it will be changed. Time now after the fall of man into sin often seems like our enemy. As was pointed out, we either seem to have too much time or we don't have enough time. Time always seems to oppose us and work against us, but in the new creation, time will always be our friend. We will always have just the right amount, the blessed amount of time for all eternity. But time in its present form is going to come to an end when Christ returns. There's a limited amount of time that God determined to create. Furthermore, applying it now personally to each of us, time began for us when we were conceived in our mother's womb. And time for each of us personally is going to end in its present form when we die and depart from this world. Each of us has a limited amount of time according to God's eternal plan and counsel. The scripture makes that plain too, that we only have a few years in this world. Only a few years. Psalm 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Only 70 or perhaps 80 years and perhaps a bit more than that. But that's all. Our life is very brief. Time is very limited and precious. Chronos is that general word for time, but that's not the word in our text. The word that Paul uses in our text is kairos. Now, kairos refers to a single moment of time. Or sometimes it can refer to an opportunity, because a single moment presents to us an opportunity. And the thing about time is it is the sum of all of these many moments. And a moment of time comes and then it goes and it never returns. And if that moment presented an opportunity to us, that opportunity comes and then it goes and it never returns. Time is very precious. Time flows like a never-ending stream as far as our experience is concerned. As a river, time flows. And each moment of time, as it were, flows by along in that stream of time. Each of those moments which present opportunities, each of them is a gift from God to us. The whole of our life is a gift, and each moment of our life is a gift. Each phase of our life is a gift. And our calling, according to the text, is to redeem those moments. Now, redemption is an act of purchasing. When we hear the word redeem, we usually think of that act that Christ performed on the cross. Redemption. What did Christ do on the cross? He redeemed us. He purchased us, body and soul. And he did not purchase us by making a transaction of silver and gold, but he purchased us by the shedding of his own precious blood. And that moment at the cross, as we saw in our Lent series this spring, that moment at the cross was the central moment of all of time and all of history. That moment there at Calvary, that moment when Jesus hung on the cross, that was the center, the central moment of all of time and history. All of time revolves around that moment at the cross. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, did not waste that moment, but He redeemed it. He redeemed that central moment of time by redeeming us, body and soul, for time and eternity by the shedding of His precious blood. He did not waste that moment of time. Oh no, His brief life here on earth, He spent every moment of that life perfectly, devoting each moment of that time not to the service of His own sinful or carnal desires, for He had none, but He devoted every moment to the service of the glory of His heavenly Father and to the salvation of His church. Christ redeemed the time at the cross by redeeming us, saving us. And that death of Christ on the cross at Calvary, that central moment of history, is both the power and the example for us to redeem the time. The power and the example. We look to His example of redeeming the time, and also we receive from that act of the cross the power and the strength, because we cannot fulfill this calling of our own strength. But we receive from the cross the strength, the grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to redeem the time. What does it mean then? To purchase the moment, to purchase the time. After all, isn't time a gift? Didn't we just say that time is a gift, something that God has given to us, and therefore isn't time something we already possess? Isn't time something we already have? Why then would we need to purchase it if we already have it? And we do speak that way too. We speak of spending our time on this or that. We speak of wasting our time. That implies that we have it and we've wasted it. We have it and we've spent it. But the apostle says, purchase it. Redeem it. You have to buy the moment. The moment isn't truly yours until you've purchased that moment. And the way to purchase something is by paying a price. Jesus paid the price of His own precious blood. What is the price for us to redeem the time? Let me put it this way, beloved, that we would not be paying the price if we would use our time and use the moments, the gifts that God has given to us, in the way that the wicked world does. If we would adopt the motto of the world around us, this motto, seize the day, by which they mean eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Life is short, life is brief, you only have a limited amount of time. Use every moment for yourself. Use every moment to serve and seek and please yourself. You only have a little bit of time. You need to relish those moments. You need to have as many experiences and take as many thrills as you possibly can. Enjoy your life, experience your life, live up your life. Live the high life as much as you are able to do. Then we would be failing to redeem the time. Redeeming the time is not seizing the day in the worldly sense of the term. Seizing the day is perfectly fine expression if we have a right understanding of it. But not in that sense. Eat, drink, and be merry. The price that must be paid to purchase the time, beloved, is that we give up our own selfish desires. It is that we give up the sinful pleasures of this life and this world that we would otherwise spend our time doing. The price is that we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ, who redeemed the time by redeeming us. That is how we redeem, how we purchase the time. We give up one thing, that is ourselves, our sinful desires and our sinful flesh, but we gain another thing. We purchase the time. We purchase that moment, and it becomes truly our own moment, truly for our own benefit, and we experience the blessedness of using the moments and the stages of our lives not to serve ourselves, but to serve the Lord. That's what it means to redeem the time. That's how we purchase the time, by devoting the moments of our lives and the stages of our lives and all of our life to God. A life of thanksgiving. A life of seeking Him and performing His will and obeying His callings and seeking His glory. That was how the apostle really opened this chapter when he said, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how we redeem the time, by using the time to follow God and to walk in love. Now we can apply that, of course, in many, many ways. Each of us is in a different stage of life, and we have the calling to redeem that stage of life. Are any of you in that stage of single life? Yes, some of you are in the stage of single life. Some of you, as single members of the congregation, have never been married and never will be married. Some of you who are single members will one day become married. But whether you will be married or will never be married, ultimately you don't know. This you do know, that now presently you are in the stage of single life. And the calling then in the text is, redeem that time. Purchase that time. Don't use that time to seize the day in the worldly sense of the word. Don't use that freedom of single life to seek and to perform earthly and sinful pleasures. But redeem the time. Use the time of single life with all the opportunities that it affords you. And there are many opportunities in single life. In 1 Corinthians 7, the apostle makes that plain, that those who are married must seek to please their wife and seek to please their husband, and if they have children, seek to take care of the children. But one who is not married is able to serve the Lord in a much freer and fuller way. In many more ways, put it that way, in many more ways, there are more opportunities to seek and to serve the Lord in single life. Redeem the time of single life. If you are lonely, redeeming the time means that you strive for contentment. Strive to learn contentment. Strive to be patient with the Lord's will. The Lord may bring you a wife or a husband someday. But don't wait for that in the wrong sense of the word. By squandering this season of your life, by squandering this time that God gives to you, redeem that time, purchase it, use it by living a full life and single life, not just for your own pleasures, but in service to the Lord and seeking of His glory, by taking the gifts God has given to you and using those gifts in the church, in the school, visiting a mission field perhaps, so many ways. Many of us are in the state of married life. We too are called to redeem that time. The time of married life too is unknown to us. Our husband could be taken from us today, or our wife. Today could be the last day that we are in the stage of married life. Or there could be many years ahead of us. We simply don't know. But the calling that comes to us is, in this stage of your life, in the state of marriage, redeem that time. Redeem that phase of your life. Strive to fulfill all of the callings that come to you as a married person. Husbands, redeem the time to love our wives. Love our wives while we still can. While we still have them, while they are still with us, before they have gone from us, before the Lord has taken them to glory. Redeem the time to show them your love today, each day, tomorrow, this week, this month, this coming year. Show them your affection. Show them your devotion. Rise up with your children and call them blessed and give them thanks for their loving service. And wives, redeem the time to submit to your husband, to show honor to them and love for them, to show them your affection and your devotion, to show them and tell them that it is a joy to be his wife. By striving in your loving service, devoting yourself to your husband, to your children if you have children, but always to the Lord and to his glory. Some of us have children. Our calling is to redeem that time. There's only a certain amount of time in which we will have those children under our roof, in which we will have them in our nest, so to speak. One day they will leave the nest. They will go out. They will leave father and mother and be joined to their wife or husband. Or they will be taken by the Lord from us into glory. Redeem the time. While we have those children in our homes, under our roofs, redeem the time. Now is the time. Seize this day, this week, this year, to train up the children in the way that they must go, to raise them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, to show them by our godly example how to live a godly life. Now is not the time to leave a bad example for our children. Now is not the time to lead our children in ways of sin and wickedness. Now is the time to teach our children godliness, to teach them truth, to teach them the Word of God. Some of us do not have children, and the calling then is to redeem that time. God has not given you children. Someday He may give you children. Abraham and Sarah were very old when they had children. We simply do not know. But the Lord does tell you this, that now He has not given you children yet. Redeem the time when you don't have children. Use that time that God has given you, similar to a single member who has the freedom to serve the Lord and many other opportunities and ways. Use that time to assist others, to be involved in the schools and church, and to witness to those who are without, to study the Word of God in depth, to read Scripture, to read theology, to read books of meditation, and to engage in prayer. Most of us have a job. We are called to redeem that time. Tomorrow we will go back to work. This week we will be at our job all week long. We will spend many hours at work. This week and the next week and in the months and years and in the whole of our life we will spend many, many, many hours at work. Whether we have our own business and we are the master or whether we work for someone and we are the servant, the Scripture says to us, as masters and servants, redeem the time that God gives to you. And that means that when we go to work, our motive for our work is not to get rich. We don't go to work and strive in our work with all our might in order to become powerful and rich in this world. It's not the love of money that drives us. We don't either serve in order to get prestige in this world or to get the approval of our boss. But we redeem the time by going to work and striving and working diligently at our work to make money so that we can support our family, to make money so that we can give to the poor in the congregation and the poor outside of our congregation, to make money so that we can support the causes of the kingdom, chiefly the preaching of the gospel here in your own midst and also on the mission field abroad, to support the seminary where young men are taught to become ministers. That's why we go to work. That's why we seek to earn a paycheck. And not only that, but to use the gifts God has given us, to press those gifts into the service of our God, to seek the glory of our God in our work and all that we do, and to bear witness to those at our job, to let our light shine to those who are without. Remember, that's the emphasis in Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Seize the opportunities that are presented to you to witness to them. Those who are without, those who are your neighbors, those who are not members of our church, and those who are not members of any church, those who are outside of Christianity, seize the moment to bear witness to them. Some of you are students. Your calling in that stage of life, too, is to redeem the time. You won't be a student forever. Sometimes when we are young, it seems that it's year after year after year of schooling, and it seems to never end, but it will end. It will come to an end. Someday you will conclude your grade school education and your high school and your college education. It will come to an end. You will graduate. So your calling is to redeem the time, the present time. You're only given this time to be a student, to study in depth all of the aspects of God's world, history and geography and science and math and all the rest. Redeem the time. Make the most of that time to learn about our Father's world. Devote yourself to serving and seeking the Lord as a student. That means that when we go to college, again, our motive for striving and working diligently in our studies is not merely to please the teacher. It's not merely either to find a job that can be fulfilling for our own happiness in this life. It's not merely to find a job that will give us a great paycheck or a job in which we can get prestige. But our motive also in our college studies and the way to redeem the time, to purchase that time of our life, is to use that college education in the service of God, to seek His will for our lives, to seek what are the gifts He has given to me. How does He want me to live? What does He want me to do? What gifts do I have, and how can I use those gifts to the best of my ability to serve the Lord in the brief amount of time I have in this world? And yes, to make money, to support my home, and to support the church. That too. But not out of the love of money or the love of prestige. This is how we redeem the time in our various stations and callings. And does that mean that we may never use any time for leisure? That we may never have a hobby or play sports or take a vacation? No, it doesn't mean that. But we ought to remember that bodily exercise profiteth little, only a little. And therefore, we would be not redeeming the time if we would spend an abundance of time on leisure, an abundance of time on sports and hobbies and vacation. We need to be careful with that, not to waste the God-given time, the precious and limited amount of time of our lives for leisure and so forth. But we ought to view leisure and vacation and hobbies and sports as a means of refreshment for the body and mind, so that we may return to our calling, to our work, to our job, to be refreshed and rejuvenated, and once again to labor energetically and diligently in the callings God has given us, as a mother, as a father, and in the workplace and in the school. And we also ought to remember, when we engage in leisure and sports and vacation, that's never a vacation from the Christian life. But then too, we are to seek the Lord when we are on vacation, seek the Lord when we are engaged in sports and leisure, seek His glory and His praise. We might also add, beloved, that at this present time in our country, we've been given time, a time of peace, a time of prosperity, a time of freedom. We ought to avail ourselves of that time. We ought to redeem that time too. A time to worship the Lord publicly as we do tonight and as we did this morning, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. We're given this time to gather here publicly in this assembly. And as we sang earlier, one day in the Lord's house is better than 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness. One day is better. We have opportunities now to preach the gospel freely in this country and in much of the world. We have opportunity to witness. We have opportunity to educate our children in the Christian schools. We have opportunity to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And part of that work of the kingdom, beloved, is the work of loving our fellow saints. We have time, as long as we are in this world, to reconcile with our estranged brother or sister, to go to the brother or sister against whom we have sinned and to ask them for forgiveness, to go to the brother or sister and tell them their fault, that they have sinned against us, and beseech them to repent and to be sorry for that sin. We have time. We have time now, beloved, to abound in good works. Only a limited time is our life here below. This is the time to abound in good works. Charity, hospitality, generosity. You know, money is another gift in addition to time that God gives us. And now is the time to use our money too, to give it to the poor, to give it to the church, to abound in generosity, liberality, hospitality, charity. Now is the time. Redeem it. In this connection, the apostle also gives this exhortation: see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And that is a requirement in order to fulfill the calling to redeem the time. That's how we can relate the two. In order to redeem the time, it is required that we walk circumspectly. If we don't walk circumspectly, we will not be able to redeem the time. If we do walk circumspectly, then we will be able to redeem the time. Walking circumspectly means that we look where we are going. Circumspect means to look around in a circle, to look all around you, to watch where you're going. So to do something circumspectly then means that we keep an eye on our surroundings. We are cautious, we are vigilant, we are careful in the spiritual life. Think of an illustration for a moment. Think of a man who is not wise but foolish and who is not walking circumspectly. He's walking in a bad part of a city. He's walking through a dark alley, a place where there's known to be crime and criminals everywhere. And as he's walking through that dark alley, dark at night, in a bad part of town, he's holding out in the open a huge wad of cash. And in his other hand, he's mindlessly texting on his cell phone, and he's not watching where he's going. He's walking through this dark alley with the cash and the cell phone texting, not looking around, not watching where he's going. And suddenly someone jumps out of the darkness and beats him up and mugs him and steals his phone and steals the money and leaves him there, battered and bruised in the dark alley. He wasn't walking circumspectly. He wasn't watching where he was going. He wasn't looking around. That man was very foolish. He was not walking in wisdom. It should not have been any surprise to him when that happened to him. He should not have walked alone through that dark alley. He should have walked with someone else. Or if he did walk alone, he should have hidden that cash deep in his pocket and hidden his cell phone away and kept his eyes on the path where he's going and looked around and paid careful attention to what's happening so if need be, he can run for his life and escape. But he was not walking circumspectly. And therefore, he was not able to redeem the time either. Because perhaps he was taking that wad of cash to donate it to the poor. But now that cash is stolen and gone, and he's no longer able to redeem the time and to give that money as he intended to do, he can't redeem the time because he wasn't walking circumspectly. He lost the opportunity. So the apostle says, walk circumspectly in the spiritual life. Be not unwise, but wise. Be not fools. In the way we live our lives, we must be looking around, spiritually speaking. The foolish man, in the spiritual sense of the word, is one who walks, as it were, through the dark alleys of this world, where there are devils and worldly men and wicked temptations, and he's not paying any attention to what is going on and where he's going. He's not paying any attention to his heart and the way things are developing within himself. He's not paying any attention. One who is walking circumspectly pays close attention in the spiritual life. He's evaluating the world around him. He's evaluating his own heart. He's recognizing the devil and his temptations, his wiles. He's putting on the whole armor of God. He's reading the scriptures. He's devoting himself to prayer. He's watching. Watching. He's vigilant. Always walking circumspectly. Then he can see those dangers and avoid them. We can apply that, beloved, in many ways, of course. In regard to work and school, perhaps, if we're walking circumspectly, we will notice that we are developing a tendency or a habit of laziness. That we are developing a certain slothfulness. And we're failing to redeem the time because of that. Then our calling in walking circumspectly is to notice that habit as it develops and to take measures to avoid that, to overcome that, to fight against it. Pray about that very thing, that laziness. Pray that God will give us diligence and take measures in our lives. Have accountability with our wife or husband or our parents to avoid that danger of laziness. Or it could be that we notice in our hearts a growing interest in money because money can purchase us the things of this life that we want. And we notice that development in our heart of greed and covetousness, of discontent. If we're not walking circumspectly, we won't even notice that that's developing. We won't even notice when the devil tempts us in that regard and attacks us on that very point. But if we're walking carefully, circumspectly, we will notice as that develops, and we'll pray for the grace to crucify that idol in the heart. This applies to all of our various callings of life. If we are single or married, if we have children or don't have children, if we are single, we must be circumspect. We must look around us all the time and make sure that we are not giving in to the temptations that come with single life to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we are married, it means that we also pay close attention to our hearts and to our eyes. Where are we looking? What are we feeling in regard to our wife or our husband? If we are divorced, if our spouse has left us, and now we are a single member in the state of divorce, walking circumspectly also means guarding our hearts carefully and striving to avoid those situations, those relationships in which I might be tempted to marry once again, to do that which I know is not right in the Lord's eyes. Walking circumspectly means I watch out for those dangers, those temptations. I guard my heart. The apostle calls us to walk circumspectly, and then doing so, we will be able to redeem the time of single life, of married life, in a state of divorce, with children or no children, at work and at school. If we're walking circumspectly in all of these callings and stations, by God's grace, walking in the Spirit, walking in prayer, watching, reading the Scriptures, then in that way, God will strengthen us to redeem the time. The only motivation to do that, of course, is love for Jesus Christ and love for God. As the opening verses again indicate, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's the only motivation. As we saw earlier, the cross was the central hour of time, and it's also the power of redeeming the time. It's the example and the power and the motivation. Looking to Christ, looking to the cross and seeing how he used his time and how he used that moment of time to redeem us by giving his life, by suffering death, shedding his blood, going through the portals of hell and enduring the eternal wrath of God. Looking to Christ, we will be stirred up. We will long to use the time God has given us to seek and to serve the Lord, to fulfill our callings while we have time, which is only a little bit, only 80 years, and maybe 80. Looking to Christ, always looking to Christ, we will be able to mortify the old man of sin, which would have us to use our time for selfish reasons, for sinful pursuits, and to quicken the new man. There is urgency. The days are evil. The moral climate of the Greek world in Paul's day was extremely evil. So when Paul said the days are evil, he was referring first of all to his days, to the days of the church in Ephesus, the days of the Greek world and the Greek culture, extremely evil. In chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, Paul wrote, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And in the chapter that we read, verses 3 and 4, he lists fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. These are the evils of our day, of Paul's day. And it's not very different today. And those evils of the day make this calling urgent because the world around us tempts the church. The church at Ephesus was in the world. They were not of it anymore, but they were still in it. and the evils that were so abundant everywhere, the corruption of the Greek society everywhere sought to impose itself on that little church at Ephesus, as well as all the other churches of Christ in that day. And that's why Paul says to them in verse 6 of our chapter, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Paul knows that the Ephesian Christians knew how appealing that life of sin is. He knew that they knew that, because he knew that they used to live that way. They used to experience that walk of life. They used to go in the world of drunkenness and fornication and enjoy all the selfish carnal pleasures of this life. They knew what it was like. But they had been converted out of darkness into light. Now they are children of light. And so the apostle says, don't go back. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to the temptations of that evil world in which we live. Live antithetically to that world. Don't mix with that world. Let your light shine. Remain distinct in the midst of the world. We need to see the brightness of your Christian character shining out in these evil days. The days are evil. Calling is urgent. Today it is as well. The United States of America is following in the footsteps of Greece and Rome. Even from a historical point of view, it's a fascinating thing to study how the United States of America is following in the footsteps of Greece and Rome. Those days were evil, and our days are evil. This country, which claims at times to be a Christian country, depending on who is speaking, this country at one time was nevertheless conducive to living the Christian life, at least outwardly. But more and more it is descending into darkness, deep darkness. And we too, beloved, were by nature children of wrath. And the evils that impose themselves upon us from the world through the television, through the computer, even through the advertisements, through many different ways, the universities, the media, and even those with whom we live in our work and neighborhoods, all of those evils are great evils that tempt us. And so the same calling comes to us. Don't be deceived. The wrath of God comes upon them who walk such. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. We've been redeemed out of that world. Let us not go back into it. See that we walk circumspectly. The days are evil. The calling is urgent. Observe and avoid the dangers, the temptations of the devil. And redeem the time. God has given us time. Let's use that time. Let's spend that time in the service of God. Let's devote it to God. Let's seek the Lord in His glory, whatever our calling and station is presently. And let that always be how we live, redeeming each moment, redeeming each stage, content with the way God has led us, patient with His way, and striving to be followers of God as dear children, walking in love to His glory. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We are sorry for our many failures to redeem the time, and we pray, strengthen us for noble duty. Strengthen us by Thy grace and Spirit that we might walk circumspectly, as wise, not as fools, redeeming this time that Thou hast given us, knowing that the days are very evil, and expecting them to become more evil. Grant, Father, that we as Thy little flock in this world might be encouraged, might be comforted, might be motivated and empowered to take the time Thou hast given us, to redeem it, to purchase it, to devote it unto Thee. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.